Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones.
Not to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord.
Today's message, Under Siege, challenges the church, the body of Christ, to rise up, walk upright, and live a life worthy of Christ's calling. Let's listen in as Pastor Joel begins this powerful series.
I want you to think for a minute before I start here. I want you to think about this. Imagine, if you will, a movie. Imagine a script where you see there's a town, and in that town, people are being afflicted. There's something going on in the town, so to speak. Think about that. Just visualize a script where people are being attacked. They're being attacked by an enemy, but they can't really see the enemy. Maybe an alien or some type of monster. And the way these aliens and monsters are coming against people is taking over their cities. Because, see, the monster isn't noticeable. The alien isn't noticeable. You can't see them. They have the uncanny ability to infiltrate the people of the town. So before long, the people of the town are taking on the personalities and characters of the enemy, the monster, right? The alien, whatever you want to call it. And it gets to the point where the people that were normal, you really don't know if they're normal or not. And before long, they've taken on the characteristics of that thing that's infiltrating like a plague. I would call that movie Under Siege. Under Siege. Now, that might be a movie someday. And I've heard of sort of some things like that, Night of the Living Dead and that type of thing. But this would be Under Siege. And that's the term that the Lord gave me. He said this sermon is going to be called Under Siege because the church is under siege. See, it's not a movie. What we're talking about is real life. We're talking about the house of God. We're talking about God's people. It's not a movie. God's people, the church has come under attack. I don't know if you know. I don't know if you've been listening to the news. I don't know if you've been seeing what's going on and keeping up with current events, even in the church. There's some things going on in the church. It seems that the church has been infiltrated. It's either been infiltrated or it's been affected by oppressing demonic forces. Yes, they've moved out of the church, out of the world, and even into the church. And should we be surprised? We all know Matthew 4, right? We all know that the devil took Jesus to the top of the sanctuary. Well, if the devil can sit on the house, on the top of the house, he can come in the house, right? If he can affect people, if he can take Jesus out for 40 days and persecute him and try to tempt him, then he can do the same thing with us, can't he? And we're at a time where Christ's followers are really, really, really being attacked. So although this is not a movie, it's a scene that's playing out possibly at a church near you. This is not just for our church here at Spirit of Truth, but it's for all churches. We all need to know about this, okay, as Christ followers. Well, it's to the point now that you don't always know who is a believer and who isn't. The Bible talks about the wheat and the tares, does it not? Okay, you don't know who is a Christ follower and who is it, who isn't. We have many so-called leaders now, and we have many so-called congregants who say they are following Christ, but are they really? So we want to talk about those things. We want to talk about what it is to be under siege, and we want to make sure we know that when if we stand on the Word of God, we really need to do that. We really need to stand on the Word of God. Amen? I've seen leaders, and I say this, and not to disparage anyone, but we have to tell this thing just like it is. I've seen leaders who once preached the truth and now seem to be traveling down a different road. I see people that have made alliances. I see people separating themselves when they used to be in the same arena fighting these demons. But now we see more and more, it seems as though social concerns and man's desires have begun to overshadow what God has told us to do in some churches, in many churches, and that's in a negative manner. And that factor should be a concern to each and every one of us. It doesn't matter if it's your church or this church or that church, okay? Because when one hurts, we all hurt. We are all the body of Christ. You've heard me say it so many times. All disciples are believers, but not all believers are disciples. Not everybody who say they're saved is saved. And not everybody who walks in Christ, if you know what I'm talking about, okay? It's easy to say it. It's easy to be a hearer of the word, but we need to be doers of the word, and that's what the Lord is looking for, amen? So, for instance, it's not enough to just come to church. It's not enough to just come when you want to. There are no bench warmers on this team. You heard Brother Terry talking about being in position. God didn't call you into the church just to show up when you want to and say, well, I paid my tithe, now I can go do what I want to do. That's not why we're here. We're here to serve a purpose, and it's not even our purpose. There's no way I would do this job on my own. There's no way I could do this job on my own. I didn't grow up saying I'm going to be a pastor. My father wasn't a pastor. My father was a minister with the Nation of Islam. There's no way I would be here unless the Lord called me here. But if I'm going to be here, I'm going to do the job that the Lord told me to do. It's not about anything else. No, I gave up my career. I gave up my career for the Lord. So this is what I do, and this is what he's told me to do. Now I'm asking you, what has he told you to do? What is he telling you to do? Have you asked him? Is it a pressing yearning in your heart to know that you're serving the Lord his way and not the man, and not the way of society or man's way? Those are things that we need to think about, because it makes a difference, even if it's not your church. Maybe your church is just doing fine. Everything's perfect. We know that's not true, but even if it was, there's an analogy. There's an analogy that talks about if you're on this huge ship, maybe a cruise ship, and it's one of those 4-football-length ships. Anybody ever been on one of those? Okay. One of those ships where you can jog around the whole ship and get tired and do your workout that way. Well, way, 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 way on the other side past the Lido deck, there's somebody drilling a hole in the bottom of the boat. But it's so far away from you that that leak that it springs doesn't really affect you. So on your side of the boat, everything is all right. How many of you know that before long it's going to affect you? Before long, when that boat fills up, it's going to affect you, and it'll cause that boat to do what? To sink. Well, that's the church. There are things that are going on in the church. May not be your church. May not have those problems in your church. But if it takes that church down, it's going to spread like a bad cancer. And it's going to spread to all the churches. And we're seeing that in the body of Christ today. If we're honest and we look, that's just what we're seeing today. So, we have to really, really look at this, and we want to make sure that we don't, if we're under siege, we don't have to stay under siege. You understand what I'm saying? We know the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to steal your life, to destroy your blessings, to kill you and everything that has anything to do with you. If he can't go through you, he'll go through your children. If you can't get your children, go through your grandchildren. That's why each and every one of us has to walk in this word. If you're 60, 70, 80 years old, it doesn't matter. It's never too late to get in this word of God, because you can pass it on to somebody else. Amen. This is the best trust fund you could ever give your children, is this word. So even if you get it late, I've talked to men who say, oh, man, Pastor Joe, if I come into church, it'll fall down. Well, come on in and let it fall down. Okay. Because what's going to fall on you out there is much worse than what will fall on you in this church. And those same men that say they won't come in here, those same people that shy away from the church, are doing their families, their friends, their neighbors a great disservice. I'd rather see you come in church and get saved today and kick that old bucket tomorrow. Just pass that baby on before you leave Amen. Pass that thing on like a hot potato to somebody else and let them be saved too. Amen. That's what the devil doesn't want us to do. But that's what we have to understand. There is an urgency going on here. There's an urgency because the church is under siege. You ever heard the term, and I learned this before I was even in Christ, ignorance is bliss. What you don't know won't hurt you. You ever heard those old silly sayings? Who started those? You know it's not true. God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And that's from the word of God, amen? So if that's in Hosea 4, 6, and he's telling you what happens, and hear people saying that, what you don't know won't hurt you. They just want to stay ignorant. No, the devil wants you to stay that way. But we need to know to what extent we're under attack. And so let's go to the word of God. Let's go to our Bibles. See what it tells us about being aware so as not to sink in total captivity from being under siege. Let's go to the book of Galatians. Y'all know Pastor Annalisa got another day off. So I'm going to read. We're going to go to the book of Galatians, and we're going to go to chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 10. Galatians 1, 6 to 10. And when you all get there, let me know you're there. And we'll just look at this and see what Paul is saying to the people of Galatia. Somebody said amen, okay? Good enough. I heard a second. We're going to go. Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Verse 7, he says, which is not another. For there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. All right? Then he says, as we have said before, he reiterates it. As we have said before, now I now say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you other than what you have received, let him be accursed. I sometimes call that accursed, but either way, that means to be condemned. Let that thing go by you. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that it's amazing, it's unthinkable that the people of Galatia could so easily become derailed and be led away from following the true word, led away from following the true God to a false gospel brought on by false teachers of that day. And isn't that what we do? Don't we always look at the children of Israel and say, they're so sorry, they're so pitiful. How could they? They had God right in front of them. Well, what do we have? We have the Holy Spirit in us. Okay, the Holy Spirit has revealed himself to us, and we still see the same thing. We can't talk about the Galatians because there's some Galatians around hell. if you want to know the truth. But those who truly study the word of God can understand how this could happen, can we not? Yeah. I'll tell you how it can happen. If you don't know the true word, if you don't know the true original, you're liable to be fooled by the counterfeit. It's just like studying money. That's why bank tellers handle real money. They don't have to look at your bill. As soon as they see it, they go, what's that? Because it just doesn't look like the real thing. It just doesn't behave like the real thing. Okay? No matter what it is, if you know the true original, you're not going to be led away so easily by the counterfeit. See, if you don't cling to the truth, you're going to be grasping at what is false. If you don't cling, you won't know the truth when it comes at you. Have you ever tried your favorite drink, a soft drink or juice or whatever it is? This is what you like, this certain brand, and you go and you buy that brand every time. But now you're on the road and you see something else, and you says, oh, that's a root beer, but let me get it. It's not the one brand that I use, but you taste it and it's just not the same. That happened to me. I have to say, you know, I'm not perfect. I love root beer, okay? And I like the kind that you can drink it and go, and it just takes you over. That's the kind of root beer I like. You know, I like that mug root beer. You know, if you can make it, and I was at a conference and they had mug root beer that they made. Oh, man, that was the best root beer. And I find myself trying to find that root beer, and I don't find it. So I stick with what's good. That's because it's hard when you've had the original to accept something false. And that's how this word is. Don't tell me about this word. Don't try to get me to leave the word, because this is the true original word of God. And what we have now, we got people twisting this thing like a pretzel, trying to twist it like Gumby, trying to twist it into something that is not. This is not Plato. This is the real word of God. And this is the only way you're going to know the counterfeit. See, many people today are living on, they're living on slippery slopes. Okay? They're just sliding through life, and they're trying to steady themselves by their own lifestyles, their own worldly lifestyles. And they tend to grab on whatever makes them feel comfortable. That's what they hold on to. Am I right? Does it make sense? Tell me if I'm lying. Don't tell me now, but tell me after church if you don't agree with it. Don't interrupt my sermon. But I'm saying they tend to grab and hold on to what's comfortable for them. And you know that's right. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes you can be sinking. See, when you're in quicksand, what happens is you start sinking once you start wiggling around. Uh-huh. You ever seen those old Tarzan movies? They were okay. They were neck deep in trouble. But once they said, "Help me, Tarzan," instead of being still, and then they hit it, oh, yeah, 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 and then they're okay, right? My throat locked up on me right there. But I'm just saying, when you're sinking in quicksand and somebody throws you a rope, if that rope is frayed or is dead or it's brittle, it's bound to break. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus says in John 15:1 that I am the true vine. See? And that's the rope that we have to hold on to if we find ourselves sinking in quicksand. And sometimes we cause our own dilemma because we're going by our own standards, okay? Jesus says in John 8:32 that the truth shall make you free. And Jesus is the truth. And I want the churches out there to understand this. I want you to know that this includes being free from captivity brought on by false gospels. If you listen to a false gospel, you're held captive. Paul says, stay away from it. He says, even if we are an angel from heaven, bring to you any other gospel than what I've preached, let it be accursed. Let it be condemned. He's telling you that for a reason. We've got to learn from the Galatians, okay? But instead, by and large, we're seeing that same behavior in churches today. We're reaching for things of the world. Instead of the world trying to mimic us, we're mimicking the world. And we've talked about that. Who ever heard of Sunday's best? If it ain't Jesus, then it's nobody's best. If it's not Jesus singing to see who is the greatest, what? The greatest what? Who is the best gospel singer? What are you talking about? We're all servants of the Most High God. We don't compete against one another. Jesus is the one. We're here to lift him up. But see, we mimic the world. We want awards like the world. We want to dress like the world. We want to go and have a red carpet. Maybe we got a blue carpet, but we want to be like the world. But Jesus didn't come in that way, so why are we going that way? Huh? It's pride. Dave says it's pride. The world is full of pride, but we can't afford to be that way. So we have to look at these things. I'm not even going to get into all that today because you know I'll get on it and we'll be on that for a while. So I'm going to leave that alone. And I'm sorry, I don't mean any disrespect for those of you who got your Stellas and your Doves and everything else and all your awards. How about a hearty handshake and a praise Jesus? Because that's what we really need to be concerned about. I've heard of people arguing about they should have got first place and so-and-so got first place. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. We're here to serve the Lord. That's what we're here to do. I'm not here to imitate the world. It's a free gift. Now you want a trophy. All right. Now, just recently, and I'm going to say this, just recently, Brother Johnny brought something to my attention. Brother John, I'm going to use your name for a minute. That all right? Brother Johnny Craven brought something to our attention. He called us and left it on the recorder. And then when we answered, he told us about something that is happening in the church. And I have to talk about this because it affects all of us. We may not know it, but it does, and like I said, and we have to talk about it. So he told us about a proposed split in the United Methodist Church. Okay? Now, I had not read this. I certainly had heard some things about different churches. I hear some things, and then I do my investigating, and the Holy Spirit will tell me if I should say anything. So with this, he said, do this sermon and call it Under Siege. All right? And it seems that so-called leaders of this United Methodist Church community, they've called 16 bishops together, 16 so-called bishops and other representatives of various advocacy groups. Now, I don't know. I haven't looked into all this because I didn't have the time to look into all this, but I can report the news. Okay, I don't know if these advocacy groups are saved or not. I don't think so. First of all, you got 16 supposed church members, bishops at that. Why are they bringing in people that are not saved to talk about God's people who are saved? That's a red flag right there to me in the first place, all right? If you look at your scriptures and you see 1 Corinthians 6:3 on down, it says, if we are the church are to judge one another, do we set someone less able to judge than us? How can we judge each other? In other words, why would you bring somebody who's not even in your house to come into your house to judge your house? Amen. Doesn't make sense. Red flag. Doesn't sound like the Word of God. Doesn't sound like the Bible that I've been reading. Okay? But aside from that, these advocacy groups have come in to meet with these bishops. Now, you know, a bishop, what is a bishop? A bishop is a person over other churches. So you got 16 of these guys. 16. They're over churches. But they're going to bring in people that's not in church to make decisions about the church. Apparently, this is to be accomplished. Now, let me go back. Okay. They're seeking to agree to separate and split the church in half. They're going to lift a ban on same-sex marriage and LGBTQ in clergy, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what they're doing. They've come up with an agreement to lift a ban on same-sex marriage. In other words, apparently they had a ban that you couldn't be in that persuasion in the LGBTQ community and be a leader in God's church, in God's house. Which goes, what is that, with the Word or against the Word? It's the Word says that, doesn't it? Does God condone same-sex marriage? Does he condone homosexuality without repentance? Let's get this straight for the people that are watching that's going to call us haters. Does God hate homosexuals?
No.
Does he say homosexuals can't come and serve at church? No. They have to come. They can come. All are welcome. Coming to be what?
Changed.
Amen. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. We're so thankful you chose to fellowship with us today. You can find today's message as well as previous broadcasts on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. While you're there, connect with us. Like and follow us on Facebook. And if you've been blessed by today's messages, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. If you're in need of prayer or encouragement, we're here for you. Call us at 707-759-5244. Listen, If you have a desire and the means to sow a financial seed, will you prayerfully consider doing so today? All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord strengthens you as you follow Him. We invite you to join us for Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. and to walk through the Bible with us Wednesdays at 8 p.m. live on Facebook. All services are available on YouTube and online at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Thanks for tuning in to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Tune in next week for another powerful message with Pastor Joel. Until next time.
God.